listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 97. Hey everybody, Caleb Lords here with the one, the only, the just couldn't stop vaping for 5 whole minutes, John Brownstone. No. Yeah, he had to get his hit in before we could do this. I waited and waited. Today, we're talking about what to do when you realize that you're kind of coasting along in your relationship, but you stop talking to one another and your DS isn't quite where you want it to be. Ask us how we know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or Apple Podcasts. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on whichever app you're using. We don't care what app it is. We like reviews. They actually help other kinksters find us, and that's always good.
Yep.
Yep. So you can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, or you can come hang out with us at LovingBDSM.net. In just a moment, I'll give you another way to follow us, but that's in the announcements. All links are in the show notes. So now it's announcement time.
Yep.
So I have 3 announcements.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the 2 fastest first.
Fastest first.
Fastest first. No, I'm not going to do that. And then we're wasting our time. And then there's another one that should be a quick thing, but life is weird. And so it can't be a quick thing, but it's still a thing.
All right.
So don't worry. I'm going to let them know that you were worried I was going to go crazy and that I promised you I would not.
Right.
Yeah. No one will think that I'm doing this against your wishes. Okay.
Carry on.
Okay. So for the first 2. 1. Huh, what should we do first? We're on YouTube.
Yes.
Loving BDSM has an official YouTube channel.
Correct.
If you go there now, there's nothing there yet. Well, that's...
Crickets.
No. I was about to say that might not be true because we are doing a video, we're recording a video on Friday and the show comes out on Friday. So it is possible.
There will be something there by
when
the
time
you
get
listen.
There. Yeah. Yeah. We have a really long deflected URL that's like 10 million numbers.
Yes.
So I'm just going to link to it in the show notes. Feel free to search for us on YouTube if you'd like.
But once we get 100.
That's what I was going to say. Viewers. Once we get 100 subscribers, then I can make it like youtube.com/lovingbdsm, and then it's easier to find. So hopefully we'll start. And y'all, the video content we're going to put out on YouTube will be different than what we do in the forums with the sub and dom meetings and the munches. Those are at least an hour long. They're very in-depth. They're on a single topic. These will be like 5 to 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't want to go up to 10-minute videos if we can help it.
No.
But I'm a talker, so it's possible. These will be like little short things. Just other ways to share information, and you'll get to see our lovely faces. So YouTube. The second one, which some people might find to be more important than a YouTube channel, is that Loving BDSM is on...
FetLife.
We are on FetLife.
Yes.
You should come friend us.
Mm-hmm.
You are in charge of that one.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of in charge of the YouTube one, but...
Yeah.
The FetLife is definitely yours. Like, yeah. I'll peek in every once in a while, but I can't. There's so much else going on.
I just got out there the other day and started setting it up.
And we are on FetLife. Of course, you can do the link in the show notes. Click on that. Or it's Loving BDSM PC.
Yes.
Some lovely person already has Loving BDSM, and they predate the show.
Yeah.
So we can't be mad. No. It's our own fault. We should have. Even then, we couldn't
you
have
know,
gotten
we couldn't
it.
Have gotten
so,
it, no.
Yeah. So it's Loving BDSM PC.
Right.
Not because we're politically correct. Because somebody out there thought it and they rolled their eyes or they had a little giggle. And
Loving BDSM Podcast was too long.
Yeah, so we were just having issues. We thought about Loving BDSM Pod and that felt a little bit like pod people.
Yeah.
Which maybe we are. I don't know. So Loving BDSM PC or link in the show notes. Or if you follow us on on Twitter, we pop it out. I'm trying to get better at putting more things on Twitter. It's hard. Yeah. Okay, so the next announcement, I'm going to start with the great part about this.
All right,
so,
I'm watching you.
I practiced what I wanted to say, so I would not take a million years to say it.
All right.
Okay, so y'all know we have this giveaway going on through the end of August. So this episode comes out on, what is tomorrow, the 25th? Today that we're recording is Thursday. So it comes out on August 25th. So as long as you're listening to this anytime between August 25th and August 31st, you still have time to enter the giveaway. Link in the show notes. But we have an addition to our giveaway this time. So if you recall, last week I was like, oh, we're going to get the winner is going to get one year free membership to the top tier, the Kinky Fuckery level, right? Mm-hmm. And then we were like, $25 of merchandise from our new Loving BDSM shop. And then the lovely, lovely people from, and I know I don't say their company name right, but I like how I say it, GoToMeesh, which I've heard people say it differently, so I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I get a message from them through Twitter the other day, and they're like, we love your show. We love the work you do. We want to help support you. We want to bump up the swag you're going to give away from $25 worth to $50 worth.
Yay.
Here, we'll help you. And I went, yay! And then they said, we'd love to do something else too. How much are memberships? And so then we worked it out that for our 100th episode, they are giving away a membership. So we're only going to give away one membership, but mm-hmm. they're helping us do that. So they right. get to be the sponsor of the 100th episode giveaway.
Yay!
Yay! Okay, so some listeners are like, oh, GoToMeesh. Okay. If you want to go check out their website, oh, you should. They sell dildos, y'all. And they sell beautiful, handcrafted, gorgeous dildos.
Yeah.
Their website is G, the letter G, dash, not slash, not underscore, dash, silicone.com. Or just click in the show notes page. I'll link to them. So they are a two-person company. They're, mm-hmm. I think they're husband and wife. They're partnered in some way. They have kids. Two-person company who are making their own dildos. These things are freaking yeah. gorgeous.
They have a Tumblr page, too. Mm-hmm. And I tweet out or tumble out some of their
Yeah, I have not.
Posts.
I haven't been on Tumblr in forever. So here's the deal. So for some of you, you're like, oh, I've never heard of them. Maybe I shall go check them out. I hope you do. I am hoping. I was talking to Adam, who's one of the owners, about possibly doing a review of one of their products. He's like, I'll just send you one. You don't even have to do the review. I'm like, no, you send me a product. I'm going to review it. And that might be happening hopefully soon. That would be awesome. And he was like, well, tell me which one of my dildos you want. And I couldn't pick. Y'all, they have glittery, purpley, the baby girls in the, if you like dildos, you should be squealing. So, but here's the thing. Some of you, because I know you personally, have totally heard their name and your eyebrows just went up. And I had a friend, I was talking to my friend, and I said, oh my gosh, GoToMeesh is going to help us out with our giveaway. And she said, now you know there's some stuff. And I said, I know. She says, how are you going to handle it? I said, here's how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to lay it out for my audience, and my audience gets to make up their own damn mind. Because my mm-hmm. audience is made up of, you better be, adults. I'm right. assuming you're all of legal age. Please all be of legal age. Okay. So, two-person company, they do it all on their own. They don't exactly have a staff. They have people that they partner with. They're very supportive of the sex blogging community. They pay their writers, full disclosure. They have paid me to write an article for them before. But they have not been without controversy in the past several months. Mm-hmm. So the first one, and I don't know when it happened because I wasn't paying attention at the time. They are on Snapchat as well, which I don't do. I'm way too old for Snapchat. somebody used Adam's phone, accessed the company, the brand Snapchat, and then did some very inappropriate things on Snapchat. It was not a good moment for the company. So they had to apologize and, you know, put things in place so that can never happen again. And it was not a good thing. Well, fast forward, I don't know how many months. And then there was another, in response to a show, they're from the UK, so they have shows we do not have here, and apparently mm-hmm. there was one, something about being naked. I don't understand. Somebody tried to explain the show to me, and I went, we do not have that here in America.
No.
And if we do, I just don't know about it because I don't watch TV. So anyway, he was responding in a live video on Instagram to a question from the show about vaginas, and really, vagina is the wrong word, y'all. Let's do a little bit of sex ed for a second. Vagina is actually the part of the vulva that gets the insertion. So if you're going to penetrate with a cock, a toy, fingers, tongue, whatever, I know some of y'all are freaked, you put all kinds of stuff up there. Mm-hmm. That part is actually the vagina. Everything on the outside, that's the vulva. So where pubic hair grows is the vulva. Well, he said some not good things about, he said vagina, but the word was vulva with pubic hair on it. Now I am bare and I am bare by choice, but I think if you want to be hairy, be hairy. I don't care what you do. But he expressed his own personal opinion in a not good way. It was a low moment and he had to eat crow and he had to apologize. And he and Monica, his wife, I'm assuming wife partner, did a huge campaign about educating their own audience about anatomy and body positivity. Mm-hmm. That's how I got to work for them. I wrote an article about what all the bits and pieces
are. I didn't know that for a long time either.
Right. Most people don't. Female anatomy is just not taught well at all. No. Just isn't. I went for years not understanding that all of that's my vulva and the vagina is actually the canal where penetration occurs and where babies come out. So then there was the next controversy not long after that. Here you go. If you go to the GoToMeesh website, g-silicone.com, and you see the dildo named the Atom, that is named for the creator of the company, Atom. He said in an interview, and I'm paraphrasing, you could do your own research. Well, I looked down at my dick, and I said, well, that's what a dick looks like, and I kind of sort of modeled it off of my dick. Well, some people didn't know this, and they were upset by it. That is their opinion. I have my opinion. So it was a little bit of controversy all kind of at once, and it blew up on Twitter, and it became this big thing, as things on Twitter do, and bloggers started taking sides. Well, guess what? GoToMeesh is sponsoring us, and I have worked with them, and I like them. Don't always approve of everything that happens, but I do approve of most of their response. And so there you go. That's the controversy. You want to know my personal opinion? You can contact me directly. We'll discuss it. I'm laying it out there. If those things bother you, if you were kind of aware of them and they bothered you, full disclosure, you don't have to enter our giveaway. You don't have to accept, you know, any of their support, that is fine. But you get to make up your own mind.
The thing is, just like
anybody else, we're just
doing
a giveaway.
You know, they make mistakes, but they own their mistakes and they're making them right.
And I think that's
a big thing.
I have a lot of sympathy towards them for a couple of reasons. It's so rare for a company to say, you know what, your writing is valuable enough, I will pay you for it. A lot of companies, much bigger than them, think that writers live on exposure. People die from exposure. They do not live on exposure.
Exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Right. So there are a lot of companies much, much bigger than them that do not believe in paying their writers. There are companies who do things in a very shady way. And when they're called out for being wrong, they don't admit they were wrong. The last controversy over the dildo named the Atom, that was probably, it's the most recent, it's the most sensitive to people. There was some clear disagreement. A lot of people came out on the side of Atom and a lot of people came out on the side of the other side, and it was very heated. I am not going into the details here. What it boiled down to is people did not feel there was enough information given. They did not know that that toy was in any way kind of based off of him. We have our opinions. People have theirs. Yeah. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. What I promised to do was not shy away from the fact there's controversy, even though every fiber of my being hates confrontation and drama. I'm kind of sweaty right now while we're talking about it. But that I would not pretend it had not happened.
Yeah.
But that, so it's up to the audience. They can, if you want to know the details, I can point you into some directions that will give it in a pretty easy to understand, laid out kind of way, very fair assessment of what happened. I don't think I'm a sellout or the type of person who'll take money from just anybody or take support from just anybody. So if you can't tell my opinion based on the fact that we have tied our names to them, well, we can talk about it outside of this place. But I have my opinion and other people have theirs, and that's fine. And I support the people who support me. I understand what it is like to be young and have two kids and be trying to make it and, you know, on your own with no help and have no money. Good God, we are not. They're probably have higher sales than we do, but we may be in a slightly better position because of just how my work works. So I feel a lot of empathy towards them. I also know anybody who lives and works online is one misspoken word away from online rage and hate. So I know it can happen to me at any point. Right. So does that make me more sympathetic? Probably. But that's it. They are helping us out with this giveaway. So it's now, instead of $25 for the swag, it's $50. And the next giveaway for the 100th episode, they are sponsoring that so that we can give away another membership. Yep. Plus, we'll have something else to go with it. Haha, I can't wait for that. And so they're supporting us because they love, and they told me when we were talking on Twitter, they love the fact that we are helping other people. We are putting ourselves out there. They love what we're doing. They want to support what we're doing. And you know what? I want to support what they're trying to do too, even when they don't get it right. I want to support them. So there you go. If you have questions, if you, about it, you can contact me directly. If you have strong feelings about the company, that's why I'm telling you. So you can make the choice of what you want to do about that, whether you enter the giveaway or you don't, mm-hmm. that is up to you. But that way, there's no, I wanted full transparency because there had been so much craziness around them in such a short amount of time.
Right.
I didn't want to pretend it didn't happen.
Okay,
so we're done. I want to actually do the show now.
Oh, we have a show?
Oh, that was a wrap. We're done. No, y'all, please. Yeah, we got a show. We actually had a purpose to being here.
Okay.
Before we do, I just want to say, if you'd like to enter the giveaway, please freaking enter the giveaway. If you're not even fazed by all the stuff I just said, it's g-silicone.com or just click the link in the show notes page. I've been perving their site a while because those are really pretty dildos.
They really are.
So.
And some cool looking colors too. I mean,
yeah,
that's some.
Yeah. And they're hand done. Each one is pretty much, I don't know if they have a backstock, but usually they're kind of made to order is mm-hmm. my understanding. And so no two are exactly alike.
Ah.
How cool is that, right? Yeah. So that's cool. Okay. So we're going to do the show now because that's the whole point of being here. And I'm really hot and sweaty. I don't to talk about big topics like that.
Man, where's the fan?
And we don't have anything even sexy to talk about in this show.
Up close and personal,
They all are, but this one really are. This
particularly
is,
so.
This is one of those situations, y'all. We were going through it, and in my mind, I went, oh, this would be a good episode. And then I waited about 24 hours, and then I said, hey, Daddy, do you think this would be a good episode?
Yeah.
I at least let us get past it boiled over. And you know what? It didn't boil
over. It did not boil
over. Anger,
no,
but it did finally come to a head.
There was no anger. There was no bickering.
No, we weren't even upset with one another.
We were just kind of doing our own thing.
The way I kind of put it in my notes to make sure we catch most of the points at least, mm-hmm. is that we were coasting. And I think that happens to every relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's not a kink thing. It's not a vanilla. It's a person thing.
Right.
You get into sort of your routine and your, I call it a rut after a while, as much as I love routines. And you just coast and you don't check in with one another and you either keep doing the things that you've been doing, which is not mm-hmm. always a bad thing if that's working for you. Or in our case, you start letting things slide. And instead of stopping them, the moment you realize that, oh, that's not how we do
exactly.
that, you just let it go and mm-hmm. you just start coasting. And the problem is when you're letting things slide in your DS and you're coasting, you start coasting downhill pretty damn quick.
Yes.
And we were not in one of those situations where it was a troubled relationship. I think that had we let it go a few more weeks, it would have been much worse. I think we
Correct.
Caught it early enough.
Yes, absolutely.
But so here's the situation, and then we'll try and outline it for you and see if we can help you maybe apply it to your mm-hmm. own. I don't know. So part of it was we both had things on our mind where we were kind of things we wanted to do as part of our kinky selves. I wanted as a submissive. He wanted as a dominant. Yeah.
Right.
And neither of us talked about it.
No.
We just didn't talk. I don't know. We just didn't talk about it.
I know for me, what had happened was I got so wrapped up in doing things for my wood business. And I got so wrapped up in the things I was doing online for LB.
You can say loving BDSM here. There's no children in the room.
That's true.
Yeah, we use code. LB is loving BDSM. So if we slip and start using code, that's what that one means.
So, you know, between getting the swag, doing the Facebook page, or the FetLife.
FetLife page, yeah.
You know, I had a big show coming up.
Yeah, you did two shows back to back.
And I was pushing to get ready for one of them was a big show, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had so many things going on, dealing, you know, the new routine of the getting the kids to school.
Right, and let's clarify here. These were not, you know, we've done shows where we talk about when vanilla life gets in your way,
right,
or, you know, you have big things that happen in outside of your kink life and they throw everything off. This was the day-to-day stuff. You know, it you can list it like that and it becomes mm-hmm. this huge mountain of stuff, but it was yeah. just your day-to-day living
stuff.
You know,
right.
It was working. You were working on Loving BDSM. Thank you. You were working on your wood dom stuff and you're turning and planning and doing shows.
Right.
And that's part of the typical day-to-day. This was not something out of the norm. This was just how life looks for us.
Mm-hmm.
And on your side, you got focused on that. I was just as focused on my side.
Right.
You know, I've been fortunate. I've been able to take on a couple of extra projects, which since we're getting married in 2 months, that works out well. we need the money to come in. And so I was, you know, immersing myself in work. And that was actually another part of our discussion when we finally did talk. So neither of us was really focusing on the DS or really even each other.
Right.
We were focusing outwards instead of inwards.
Even at the end of the day, we were both just falling into bed.
Well, it would happen before we'd go to bed. We would, if we got lucky enough to have some time to just sort of sit still before we went to bed, I sit in the recliner, he lays on the couch, or now these guys new computer, he might sit at his desk and do stuff on the computer. But when we need to chill out and sort of unwind from a day where it's not physically tiring, but it is mentally tiring. We'll get lost in our own stuff. I'm watching YouTube videos. I am obsessed with whatculture.com's YouTube
yes.
channel. I don't go to their website. I don't care about their website. I just watch their videos. I mostly like all those British accents. Just saying. But I would zone out to watching YouTube videos, and you might play a game on your iPad. You might read
right.
a book. Who knew? We were separate and yet together at the
Correct.
Same time. We were in our own little bubbles. And there's nothing wrong with that for the most part. But while we were kind of, during the day, focusing outward,
mm-hmm.
then in the evening, we were focusing outward.
Right.
We weren't paying attention to
each other
at all. And then, yes, we would go to bed. And then whatever we had been doing on the couch or in the recliner, we would then do in the bed. Like,
right.
we weren't...
Yes.
Nothing sexy about it. Just
no.
very rote, like, oh, he'd smack my ass a few times. Go ahead and get in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was kind of grateful for it. I was tired. I went through a 2 week
stomach
issue.
On top of all that, you had not been feeling well. You had, yeah, your stomach issues, a headache just before, migraine just prior to that.
Right. So there was, it's all little stuff. And what happens is sometimes that's, in my opinion, I think sometimes you're just going to go through it. You can't always stop it right in the middle. I mean, we weren't going to get kinky while I was not feeling well.
No.
It didn't matter. We weren't going to get kinky when we were spending all of our daytime energy focused on work and the kids because we were too exhausted at night. The thing that we didn't do that we probably could have and should have in the middle of that is just acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But we were in our own heads about it.
Right.
Part of that's personality. I think, you know, some people just... And we are these types of people. We get stuck
mm-hmm.
in our own heads. We start thinking things and we forget we're supposed to say them out loud. The other part that we weren't talking about, which had we let it go on longer, would have led to problems. Like, genuinely would have led to problems.
Sure.
Is that in our DS, we were both, I don't want to say we were both dissatisfied, because we're not unhappy with one another at all.
No.
But I wanted things as a submissive, but wasn't asking for them, and
right.
was thinking to myself, I need to ask for these things. Oh God, he might give them to me. I don't know if I want. I don't know if I want what I'm asking for. But you know, you really want these things. But I don't know if I want this for real. So I was having that back and forth. And at the same time, you said to me that you, when we finally did talk,
mm-hmm.
y'all, that you actually weren't feeling very dominant either.
No, and I think a lot of that stemmed because it started with your migraine. And, you know, when you're not feeling well, I back off. I don't expect as much of you because I want you to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it started with your migraine. Then it led into your IBS attack. Then I was focused on doing stuff for my wood business, the social media and everything that I had going on with that. And the DS took a back seat. My dominant role took a back seat to everything.
And yes, it did.
Yeah, it did. I'm, you know, there's no denying it. And I realized, you know, when we did talk, I didn't like that.
No, I didn't like that either.
I did not like that.
You withdrew from it so much. At the same time, I withdrew from my submissive side. So the other revelation we've had, mm-hmm. and this one may be kind of unique to us, but I don't think so. I think in different ways this people can experience this for themselves. We have friends who, in the lifestyle, who talk about energy. Like, they don't actually call themselves dominant or submissive. They base who they are and what they are and how they express their kink based on the energy and the vibe, I always say vibe, mm-hmm. that they feel with another person. So if correct. They're with a person and they something about that vibe makes them feel submissive, then they're submissive for that person.
Right.
And if they're with another person and they feel dominant, then they're dominant with that person. Well, I have been told for years, oh, you'll find your dominant energy. Everybody finds that one person that if you're submissive, you'll find that one person. And I kept going, no, you do not understand. That is not in me. Well, I do have dominant energy.
Yes, she does. She has a great deal of dominant energy.
But it's not directed at people at all.
No, your dominant energy lays somewhere else. When it comes to work.
I'm big D dumb. You might want to call me mistress. I'm serious. I know what I
mistress
want.
Mistress of the written word.
I know what I want. I know how I want it. And I damn well better get what I want.
Right. But, you know, that goes to show a lot of people who are submissive are very alpha, very dominant in
some portion of their life.
In some portion of
their
life.
There's usually, that, from what I've seen and what I've experienced, that's usually why submission, if that's inherent to who you are, is so appealing because you have this moment where you can go, oh, yes, I'm not
charging
more.
Yeah, because then you can step back from that and say, okay.
But so here's what was happening. How does this relate to what was happening? No. So a couple things. One, he had pulled back from being his big D self enough. And I had spent so much time feeling little D dominant that I wasn't automatically switching into submissive headspace. It wasn't.
No.
It was not an easy sort of shift where it's a natural thing. You don't feel it. So here's how this played out. A couple times he would say something to me. And out that wasn't work related. Like the one time I can like be really forceful is when we're talking about work. We're talking about the website. We're talking about the podcast. We're talking about writing. I can kind of call the shots. Sometimes that's a little weird. And so I will call the shots and then immediately go, if that's okay with you, daddy. So it's a little strange.
Well, I have referred to you as the CEO, you know. So.
Well, that's probably correct. Mm-hmm. Boss is good. I'm teasing. I don't think I can handle it. I don't think I can handle that. But outside of that, when we had tried, anybody who's ever worked for themselves knows, even if it's your side hustle project, it's very hard to turn that off. I mean, it's something you have to train yourself to do. And some people never do. And some people don't want to. For the most part, I don't usually want to turn it off. But sometimes it's needed. So since it's affecting our energies and our ways of interacting, it's something I think we need to do. Because what was happening is, outside of that, when we were dealing with dinner or we were just hanging out or whatever, I was not speaking in a very submissive manner at all.
No.
But, and I also, the way I say it to myself lays the blame at you, and that's not the case. The blame is, I think it's 50-50, because there is definitely blame on my end. I was not interpreting anything you said to me through a submissive lens. So, example, we went to check out this other craft show thing he's going to start doing in a couple towns over, mm-hmm. and we... when we were done, we had decided we would go get hot dogs at this hot dog place we'd heard about. Most expensive fucking hot dogs I've ever paid for.
My God.
whatever. It was lesson learned. Anyway, I'm not supposed to, let's put it that way. I'm not supposed to eat bread. It messes me up so bad. It makes me miserable. And I know this. And for the most part, I do what I'm supposed to do because I don't want to feel yucky. Because who wants to feel yucky? Well, we go to this place. I don't eat hot dogs, y'all. I do not like, I like sausage dogs. I do not like hot dogs. So I got a hamburger, and under normal circumstances, I either just say, you know, without the bun, or I'll just take the bun off and I won't eat it. Well, I was just feeling like tired of having to be the weird one at dinner and not eat the bread that I really wanted to eat. Daddy hands me a plastic fork and knife and says, here, for your burger. Now, if I was in a submissive mindset at all, I would have gone, oh, I need to really take the bun off, because that's what he's telling me is,
thank
oh,
you,
here.
Daddy.
Right. Thank you, Daddy. That is not what happened.
No.
I acted as if there was no power dynamic between us at all. I went, no, I'm going to eat the bun today. It's a potato roll. That's fine. It should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was miserable for 3 days.
Yep.
And if that was a one-off situation, it's a one-off. And maybe, you know, if we were had been in our normal kinky selves, I would have, he would have laughed at me as I was like curled up in the bed crying. And maybe even later punished me in some way or instilled some discipline because I did not listen. But it was actually just part and parcel for what had happened.
What had
all
been
along.
Building.
Right. This was like, that was actually, I think, the thing that made us both go, wait
what?
Huh?
Yeah.
Because it was the buildup. That's where we were leading to, where he was not clearly overtly saying, no, you need to eat the way you need to eat. And I could have interpreted what he was saying, what he wasn't saying, but understood his meaning. Like, he wasn't overt, and I purposely went, oh, well, that he didn't tell me I couldn't, so okay. And it was a fault on both yeah. our parts.
Yes, it was.
And I think those are just examples, because it's just how our life is, but I think that is probably more common than the big, huge blow-ups. Like, we hear about the scary predator dominant. We hear about mm-hmm. the people who lie and cheat on each other, regardless of which side of the slash they're on, and they blow their relationship up. What we don't hear about are the quiet deaths of relationships. And a lot of the times, it starts with something really, really small, where you should have said something, good or bad, and you didn't. Mm-hmm. And then the next time it felt harder to say something because you didn't say anything about the first thing, and it snowballs, and it's usually a slow process. You and I are kind of in tune with one another. I mean, we talk about how the kink is icing on the relationship,
but
we like our power dynamic. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So when it's not there, eventually we're going to go, wait, what?
This, right. Huh? Something's wrong here.
Exactly.
Something's rotten in Denmark.
And I think that any relationship can do that. If you are sort of hyper aware, and I say constantly, but really, y'all, I do not mean every second of every day. That would be exhausting. But if you are pretty much on a consistent basis checking in, not just with yourself, but with each other, then you can usually catch these things. The mm-hmm. hardest thing to do, and I know some people will find this just, they won't believe it because of how we are. The hardest thing to do was to say, I have been wanting to talk to you about something for weeks, and I was afraid to.
Mm-hmm.
Being afraid, we talk about fear of talking to each other because we're afraid of rejection, or we're afraid of not being loved anymore. We're afraid that we're going to, you know, from a submissive perspective, maybe we're afraid we're going to be told no. But
or being judged, or
right.
for whatever reason, yes.
And that makes sense when you're in a new relationship, or when you're doing the transition from vanilla to kink, and you're talking about something brand new to your relationship you've never done before. But those feelings still exist. Even when you're in an established relationship, you know everything's good, you know you're compatible, you know you can say, hey, would you take some Crisco to my ass and put that rubber ducky up it? And the other one's going to go, well, yeah, sure, that sounds fun. Like, it's not my, I would not ask her that, by the way. But I
darn, you had me all.
But I have heard that Crisco is the old school trick for
yeah.
for butt stuff. I don't know. So my point is, that's not the thing I fear. The telling you something wild and out there, and I want to try this freaky thing you never even considered, that doesn't make me nervous at all.
Mm-hmm.
The things that make me nervous, and maybe other people can relate, or maybe it'll be something different for somebody else, is the stuff where it's small, subtle things. Or what I was finding was I wanted stuff. I wanted things to change. I wanted more structure. I wanted more discipline. I wanted not less baby girl, but maybe more restrained baby girl.
Yeah.
And I don't mean with rope either. And so I was afraid to ask for it for a couple of reasons. I was afraid because what if it was more than you could give? I mean, that's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
When, as a submissive, when you ask for something from your dominant, they have every right to go, I can't commit to that. That's too much responsibility. So I wasn't saying talking about the things that I needed because I was afraid of overwhelming you. Mm-hmm. I could see in work life that you were a little stressed because you're adjusting to things. You're doing work you don't normally do. You're finding a new routine. And I didn't want to add pressure to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other reason for being scared was that I was afraid you'd say yes. And I think that's a legitimate thing that submissives, some of us kind of face. We're like, I think I want this thing. But what if my partner says yes? And then I go, you have to kind of go, oh, I guess I asked for this, didn't I? And I'm afraid I can't handle structure and discipline and being reined in a little bit and being told no. I mean, you are an extremely indulgent daddy.
Yes.
All our listeners have already figured this out in 97 episodes. They know how indulgent you are. And I'm sure some would go, I wouldn't be that indulgent. Well, you can't be my daddy. Okay. But I do feel like maybe we've taken things too far.
Yes. I don't disagree.
And you know, and sitting here now talking about it, it's what I love about talking things out. This mm-hmm. is now our second conversation about it, y'all.
Right.
So y'all are hearing some of our thought processes as they happen. You know where I think it comes from? Because I am expending so much dominant energy during the day.
Correct.
And I don't have an outlet for letting that go.
Mm-hmm.
Except I don't want to be told no. And as a baby girl, I know I'm going to be told no.
No.
I don't want to be told no. I don't care if it's for my own good. Except then the other part of me goes, but I do want to be told no mm-hmm. because I need somebody to tell me no for my own good.
Yeah.
Because I'm an indulgent baby girl,
you're
too.
You are your own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah. I know what I should do. I don't want to do it.
Right.
I know what I need to do. I don't want to
do it.
Don't do
it. Mm-hmm.
So those were the things going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you comfortable telling people what was going on in your head? I'm going to put you on the spot in front of a hot mic.
Woo! Well, for me, it was a number of things. It was the shift in who I am. And I'm not talking about as a dominant. I'm talking about going from the person who was, I hate to say the word primary.
Breadwinner?
Breadwinner.
You were.
I guess I was.
I mean,
yeah.
We got to a point where it was clear 50-50 at a certain point.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we could kind of make this shift that
the
we
shift
did.
That
but
point.
Yeah, for a long time, you were the breadwinner. Let's
right.
just not even pretend otherwise.
I mean, I, you know.
Brought home the bacon.
Brought home the bacon every
year. It was good bacon, too. bacon.
So,
sorry,
you know,
I'm hungry.
Given the circumstances that it happened under, and what I was leaving behind with the job, yes, I was ready to take that step for that aspect, but it's entered a whole different world for me, all right? I mean, I have never not gotten up and gone to work and you know, punched a clock.
True. You get up and go to work in a different way now, and you have not reframed
True.
It in your mind
yet. I haven't, and it's taking a little longer than I thought it would.
Oh, you thought that you would be so excited to be done, you'd wake up on day one and be like, yes, this is my new life.
Yeah.
Oh, Daddy, we should have talked, because I could have told you. That is not... I went through the same thing. I voluntarily quit my job to become a freelance writer, where
mm-hmm.
I was making no money. I was completely
True.
Dependent on you. Me and the kids, completely. I have not in my entire adult life ever been completely dependent on
yeah.
a partner, ever. And I would wake up thinking, oh, thank God I don't have to go to that job anymore. And then I would think, but what do I do now? How does this
yeah.
work? It took me easily 6 months.
Right. And this is not my first time venturing into quasi-self-employment.
It's not quasi-self-employment. Well, you are self-employed, my friend.
Well, yeah, I am. So I know it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that from experience. I know that. And yet it's a little different because it's taking that time.
Do you think that part of it, in the vanilla part of your life and then in the dominant part of your brain, I guess,
mm-hmm.
do you think that part of the struggle is because you are not the primary breadwinner anymore? You are not the provider in that way. You provide. I could not do anything that I do without you. I want to make that clear to you, John Brownstone, and to the listeners. But monetarily, you are, I mean, we were up until May, end of May, we were a very heteronormative, nuclear, generic kind of, the only way you knew that there was anything kinky going on is if you knew us. Because I stayed at home. Yeah, I worked, but think about it. From the outside, I stayed at home. You went to work every day. You had the office job. You brought home the bigger paycheck. You provided. It was your money that paid the bills. If I, you know, when we were doing allowances for all, we don't do allowances anymore. That's for damn sure.
Right.
You were handing out the cash. You know, it was that, it almost looked like a 1950s thing from the outside, except inside, but it was not.
Right.
And now that does not exist anymore.
That's totally out the window, yeah.
Do you feel like, even though on an intellectual level, you and I both have talked about it, that's not important. It's not important for you, the man, you, the dominant, to be the breadwinner. But because that's how it was, and that is the norm that most people are used to, do you think that that has affected how you feel about this from a vanilla perspective and from a DS perspective?
Yes, absolutely. It's like I'm trying to remake myself. Okay, how long was I trying to find a job to get out of where I was?
I know.
Beat that dead horse.
3 years later. Yeah.
So, you know, now here I am doing something totally different. I'm taking care of a house. I'm cooking meals.
And you're exhausted, aren't you?
Doing laundry I'm not going to lie. I'm tired, yes.
There is a part of me. I don't like for you to be overwhelmed. I don't like for you to be stressed. I don't like for you to be tired. I want you to be happy, fat and happy.
Fat, dumb, and happy.
Every moment of your life, because that is what I want for you as my daddy. As a mother, as at one point I was a wife and I'm about to be a wife again, as the typical, and I hate to use that word, but from an outsider vanilla kind of standard, the norm of what we see, you are experiencing, I take great joy in the fact that somebody is experiencing what many, many women, especially mothers, experience. Now, the weird thing is, when I'm watching you do that stuff, both the woman in me who was sort of trained that this is what we do, even though that's not how we should be raised to think of things, but my generation, that's how I was raised to think of things, and as your submissive, hates it. I appreciate how you contribute, because if you did not do those things, I could not do what I do.
Right.
And you're finding out... You knew it on an intellectual level.
Well, I knew it on a certain level because, and I grant you, years ago, I had to do those things when I was single.
Sure.
I mean, I lived alone for many, many years, just me, myself, and I. I had to do my laundry, I had to do my own cooking, had to take care of the house.
But it's different with kids.
It's different when it's a...
It's a family.
Right.
My point is I know you are one of those really good men that on an intellectual level... understood it. You respected me for the work I did. You helped when you could.
Right.
You never thought that was woman's work or any of that bullshit. But there is a completely different experience when you feel it. And it is the feminist in me. She's coming out a little bit. She's a little big D too, by the way. that loves the fact that you have physically and mentally and emotionally experienced, even on just a little level, what from the time I was, okay, I didn't have kids till I was 25, but I was taking care of a man when I was 21. From 21 until May of 2017, what you are doing was my life. At the time, though, I also had to work a full-time job. And the difference is you do work. I mean, you're out in the heat for 4 to 5 hours almost every day, turning wood, making things, y'all. He's got stuff we'll be talking about in the bonus section. and then you come inside and you're working on the back end of websites and you're promoting and you're doing this and you're doing that. And then you're getting up and you're running out to get kids and you're making dinner. And there are some women are going, yeah, that's on. I get it.
Yeah.
And there are men who are like, yeah, I get it. But I think it's not just a individual, this is how our lives life is shifting. I think some of it is we internalize our cultural teachings and the things that we learn from young to what we experience in life and what we see in our popular culture and society. And even when we think they don't affect us,
right,
I think they affect us.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I think some of your shift, I'm armchair psychology.
Okay.
That's not really a word, but you know what
I mean.
Some of that shift in that I don't feel dominant is, even though on an intellectual, you looking at me basis, we're talking about it. You're like, of course what you did is work. What I'm doing is work.
Right.
But your experience in life, walking through life, was never to have been educated that this was your work. It just wasn't your experience. That's not me saying anything negative about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not putting you down for that. That's just the reality of
of
how our generations were raised.
Yes.
You know, there was woman's work, which it shouldn't have been, and there was men's work, which it shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and then when we got together to move in, it, for us, fell down those lines very neatly.
Yeah. Oh, it did.
It felt completely normal and natural to us,
mm-hmm.
you know? It felt good because we have such high respect for one another and love for one another, and we genuinely are partners in this, and not every relationship can say that.
True.
But then we did a 180.
Yeah.
We shifted.
Yeah. And that, I think, because I was brought up, I mean, for any of you who don't know, I'm 18 years older than
Kayla. Can I say your number?
Go ahead.
You're 56.
Yeah.
I will be 38 at the end of October.
Correct. And I was brought up in a very European family.
Mm.
Okay. Father born in Germany. Mother first generation born in this country.
But she's Italian.
Italian. And, you know, it was pounded into me. You go to work, you take care of your family, you have a good job,
And that's what a man does in his family. That's
exactly.
That's the lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not that I never doubted that this was work, it is work. Because
sure.
Like I said, I've done it before, not for a family. So it has been a shift. I have shifted in doing the work, okay, but it has been tough for me mentally.
Absolutely. And I can see that. That makes complete sense to me. Just knowing how you were raised, what your life has been like up to this point, what our life was like before we did this. Because I've had my own shift where there's, like I said, just part of my feminist side, she's a little dominant, is going, yeah, finally. Because here's the thing, just because I was raised that this is kind of what women do.
Are you a closet dominant? Is that what it is?
Oh,
you've been lurking in the closet all this time.
Only on certain things. I was never raised, my mother never looked me in the eyes and said, this is what women do. That is not how I was raised at all. I was told, the words that were spoken to me were, you can be anything you want and that everybody contributes and we are all one family and blah, 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 right? But what I saw for years, for a long time, my dad did a lot of stuff, but the moment he could train his girl child to do them, that was me. I learned how to do them. But my mom did a lot of things, even though she was the main breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a cultural thing. In a lot of places, women work full-time and still do a lot of the full-time housework. And the nice thing is there's been a cultural shift. More and more men are like, wait a moment, no, I can do that, and let's do this. And the men are pushing back on that whole, I'm not the freaking babysitter, I'm the dad, you know? And I love to see that. And on a big cultural shift, that's awesome. And when you get into individual relationships, we know a lot of people that don't follow cultural norms in that part of their life either. But that doesn't mean that making the shift is easy.
No.
And so it makes sense to me that it even affected DS. Because think about it, at the same time, I was having more dominant energy, as we'll call it, in the business side of things.
Correct.
And so I was feeling less submissive.
Right.
When what I want to do is feel submissive.
Well, just at the time that the shift occurred, we had just finished setting up Loving BDSM, the new website and forum.
Yeah.
And then right on the heels of that, you started another project.
I know. Which that one's going to now.
Yes.
Because I don't... Who needs sleep? Sleep's for right? chumps.
Oh, highly overrated. As long as there's coffee, who needs sleep?
Right? So that is... that's a look into our psyches. So, and I think it's worth talking about how no matter how hard you work to not care about the societal norms mm-hmm. or gender norms or what you saw as a kid that was sort of this homogenized nuclear family kind of thing. A lot of us didn't have that, but that was still yeah. what was presented to us in pop culture, that was how things were supposed to be. The reality of working on those things, and that's not a kinky thing, that's just a person thing, is a lot different. And you are doing it at an age where not a lot of people would think that at your age, you'd be making a shift like that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, in all honesty, I never thought I would be making a shift at this point in my life.
You figured you'd just work till retirement,
I figured at this point I would work through, finish my retirement, and then I'd go off and do whatever I wanted to do.
When you are doing and whatever you want to do.
And I am doing pretty much what I want to do now at this, yeah.
So now it's just our heads have to keep up.
It's just not in the way I had envisioned it.
Sure. Yeah. Does that make you feel like you, a little loss of control because it's not in the
yes.
way you envisioned it? Does that then...
Well, let's face it. The whole situation came about because of a loss of control.
Very true. And this was our way of taking control back.
Yeah.
So then pop armchair psychology over here because that's all I got. That's all I got, y'all. I have said it to you before in the past in other situations, and you kind of smile at me, nod, and in your mind, I feel like you're patting me on top of the head. But I'm going to say it again. And
good girl.
He just patted me on the head, y'all. Anybody who's actually an expert out there, if you would like to chime in after this to tell me if I'm completely wrong or completely right or there's some truth to it or whatever, I don't care. That'd be great. To me, the thing that I keep thinking about, and I have suggested this to you in different times of our lives, and I guess I'm suggesting it to you now, mm-hmm. is that if you feel a loss of control in parts of your life you can't really have any control
right.
over, then wouldn't it make sense, as long as you have the mental energy for it, of course, to take more control between you and I? Because I am probably the one thing you can control.
Right. And see, here, unfortunately, was where my mindset went with this.
Mm.
Okay? You might want to hunker down for this one, folks.
Oh, gosh. Am I about to learn something I didn't know either?
As you began exhibiting more dominant energy with your work,
mm-hmm.
and I was struggling with this mental aspect of trying to grasp everything and where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
I actually just backed away from even wanting any control.
I know. I didn't know.
But yeah.
But I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I could ask a question, what do you want? And I cannot tell you how many times I got whatever. Whatever. I didn't say that. Because in my head, I was like, oh, okay. Whatever. He's going to, okay. And
that's not like me.
And it's not like me either to just say, well, okay, I'll just pick. Because what happens is, and I think this one's a really personal episode, y'all.
Yes, it is.
You've gotten a peek into our brain. But I think that is what happens. It happened to us, so I'm sure it happens to other people, where you pull away a little bit, and one person pulls away a little bit, and the
right.
other person doesn't reach out and yank you back,
mm-hmm.
you start drifting in opposite directions.
Right.
And it's not intentional. It's not because you don't love one another. It's not because you don't want the kink
mm-hmm.
in your life. It's because you're not talking about it, and maybe it's too early to even know you should be talking about it.
And that's what it was for me. As you were moving in one direction, I was moving in the other direction. Mentally, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh no, this does not feel right at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Nothing.
But yet I was still so wrapped up in everything else that I was doing.
And it's one of those things I think you go,
I allowed it to take a back seat.
You think that'll be there. Let me sort through this right now. That'll be there.
That'll be there.
And
yeah.
what happened, at least with us, is that what we needed to help us, I think, sort through some of those other things was to not put our DS on the back burner, to bring that up to the front and to deal with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and y'all, we're going to get to the, what is the outcome of this for us? Because we have kind of an outcome. But when we finally like started hashing it out, I'm like, okay, here's what I think I want. Here's what I'm craving. Here's what I'm asking for. I still have not gotten a definitive yes yet. We have not actually shifted anything back in the physical way, in the way we, the things we do, the way we behave to one another
has changed. Yes.
And that was from one simple conversation.
That was from, we need to go have a cup of coffee and talk.
We had multiple talks. We had a talk in bed. We had a talk over coffee. We had a talk over lunch.
Yes.
Like, how many different ways and times can we talk about this? But the act of talking about it and just saying, this is what's on my mind, and then him saying, this is what's on my mind, and just laying it out there without a single solution, just a, here it is.
Right.
Was the first step in a shift.
Yeah.
Because my behavior began to, I mean, not radically, but my behavior has changed.
Yes, it has.
I mean, I have done some, you know, very nice things for you.
You have. I'm notorious for going out to the shop and not bringing anything to drink.
Florida freaking heat, y'all. It's like a kajillion degrees out there, and he's just standing in it with not a drop of water or Gatorade or anything.
So, and now she comes out and checks, make sure I have something to drink, and
I bring it to you. I love you, and damn it, I've ordered your wedding band. We're getting fucking married at the end of October. It is happening.
Red.
We will keep your ass hydrated. I'm just saying. Don't I sound so submissive?
Yeah.
But there have been other things.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a conscious thing. So that there's part of it, y'all, is there's the subconscious and unconscious kind of things and the ways you feel about things and how you behave towards one another. And then there are the conscious overt acts. Because when you get into the habit of drifting away from one another, sort of coasting and letting your role sort of slide, mm-hmm. even though that's not what you want. It's one thing if they slide because that's what you want and you don't really want to do this. That's cool. But you're like, no, we're kinky fuckers and I need my kinky fuckery, right?
Yes.
On whatever level. So things start to slide and it becomes comfortable because it's easier.
And that's something that, yes, comfortable. It slipped into a comfort zone.
Right, where it actually felt uncomfortable to behave in the old way.
Correct.
Even though it's the way we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's back to my point. I had to make a conscious decision. Okay, we're recording on Thursday, so I guess it was last night, Wednesday. You were out on the back porch talking on the phone.
Right.
Okay? I'm inside, I'm getting the boys to bed, reading the bedtime story, doing all that stuff. I've tucked them in. And the way we normally are is that after the boys go to bed, I'm asking, do you want coffee? Do you want ice cream? Right. What would you like? So here's what happened. You weren't in here to tell me directly, which is how you've been doing it for the past several weeks. You just tell me. I don't even ask.
Yes.
I wait and you tell me. And if you don't tell me anything, then I go, something's not right. And then I ask. I'm not on top of it at all. I'm not anticipating your needs. I'm not thinking about your needs. I'm waiting for you to tell me, which does not make me feel submissive at all. So I get the boys into bed and you're still not in. And I'm like, huh. So I sit on the recliner. I'm about to get lost in YouTube. And I went, oh no, wait, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If I wait for him to come in, he might get lost in thought out there or lost in his conversation. And then it's late. And then he's not getting the dessert and coffee he wanted because it's close to bed. And I'm like, this is wrong. I have to do this differently. And it was a conscious thought and a conscious effort mm-hmm. to stand my ass up, go to the back door, lean out and ask, did you want coffee and ice cream? And then give it to you. It's a small thing,
right?
But it's the, I didn't wait for you to tell me. My submission comes from trying to anticipate your needs and keep you happy because that makes me happy.
Service
comes on a different several levels.
True.
There are those submissives out there who wait to be told. They don't make a move until mm-hmm. they're told. That's not how my submission always shows itself. I like to ask or anticipate or have it there ready for you so you get that pleasant surprise of, oh, look, there's that thing. That makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is sort of an indication of how far we had gotten, that I had gotten so comfortable with not anticipating your needs. And y'all, to get to that point, it didn't...
Which was very not like you, because you, for a long time, you were very able to pick up on...
Right, because I was in, I was attuned to you. And that, I think, it didn't take some big, huge thing to make that happen. If I try and trace it back, when I try to, my memory gets fuzzy. I barely remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. It was one time where something about the interaction between us, either I asked and you were like, eh, nothing, or it was that you had said you didn't want anything for enough days. And there was something, there was one little moment where we had, our interaction was off. And from there on, it just got a little bit more off each time until we got to a point where I just made myself fix it, because it's, you know, it's difficult to instill habits.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to break them, and then you have to rebuild the habit over again.
Right.
And that's hard work. Even when it's something you want to do, it still takes time and energy to develop a habit again.
Mm-hmm.
And when it starts to feel easier just not to do something, then telling your brain telling you you've got to do this thing, there's that part of you that goes, oh God, but this might be harder. This might be more time consuming. This might be more that it was so easy to sit on the couch and be lazy. Now I have to move.
And you know, this just made me think of something too. One of the things that kind of made all this click for me that it wasn't right when we were at the Munch last week.
That was, my energy was, well, I was going through a depressive episode.
Well,
if I had had my way, I wouldn't have left the house.
It wasn't so much that. It was at the Munch when Milady was talking about protocols and rituals.
Oh, that's what triggered it for you. That's
yes.
What triggered it for me too, because I was sitting there going, I don't think we have enough protocols.
No.
And where did our rituals go?
Exactly.
Yeah, we went to our Munch, and it was the first time that we've been in, it's not the first time we've been in a long time, but it's the first time we've been where in a while where they had had a topic. Several times we've gone, it's just been sit down and talk and, you know,
right.
Hang out. But this room was packed, y'all. I was having a depressive episode. I tend to be high functioning. Have high functioning depression, so I can still get out of the bed, I can still put my clothes on, but my mind is not with you and would rather be anywhere else. I am completely devoid of all emotion. I can't really talk much. I don't want to. I'll fake it, I'll function my way through it, but then I crash. And it's, I used to think that I couldn't possibly have depression because I didn't look like the worst of it, you know, whatever. Discovered it's high functioning. So we're sitting there, and I'm just wishing I was any fucking place else. I don't care about my French fries or my tea or the fact that I'm seeing friends I haven't seen in a couple of months. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to be here. And then, yes, they did it. The one of the people in our community, her name is Milady. She is wonderful. And she did a little thing on protocols. And first of all, I knew I liked her. Like, I it was a good vibe. I've known her for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But then I loved her when she said... And how do we define what are right protocols and what are wrong protocols? She looks out the audience and somebody goes, because they're right for you. Like they asked it in a question, like they weren't sure that was the right answer. And she said, exactly. My protocols are not your protocols. And that's
mm-hmm.
okay. And I went, preach it. Preach it, sister. Except she's really dominant and I would never have said that to her. Would have said ma'am or something. But yes, we're sitting there. And that was, it was weird because... Thankfully, that depressive episode was really short-lived,
mm-hmm.
Probably about 24 hours, which is nice. When they're longer than that, it's a
yeah.
bit much. And that was the thing that I think kind of pulled me out, because what it did was it allowed me, with her talking about that, was my mind drifted while she was talking, because I started thinking about our protocols. And then
yes.
I started thinking, we're not doing protocols, and I'd like protocols. And once my mind could take that thread and run
mm-hmm.
with it, the depressive episode just sort of petered off. And I was down for the rest of the day. I was a little off still, sort
but
of
not
numb.
Not as much
but
as you had been.
No,
yeah.
no, not as much as I had been.
Yeah.
Not as much as I had been. So that's a big, huge personal story, and
yeah.
I don't know what anybody gets from it, but so... My point, I guess the overarching point, if anything got lost in all of that, we had some meanderings.
Right.
We went into feminism, we went into cultural norms. Did we talk about kink? I don't know. The point, though, is that it doesn't take necessarily one big thing that happens.
No.
It's the result sometimes of a lot of little
things.
And if you tell yourself too many times in a row, we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. It is harder than you realize to pull yourself out of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you have to. Sometimes life genuinely just intervenes and you've got to make the conscious effort, the conscious decision, I mean, that, okay, this cannot happen the way it's been happening. We're going to put that over here. We'll get back to it. And you almost look to that point with a certain amount of anticipation. You're like, right. Okay, I get through this hellhole that is my life right now and I can get back to that over there. And we've talked about that before multiple times, but this is the quiet stuff that you get lost in your own head or something weird happens outside of your kink, but it affects how you think about everything or you right. just don't. I think it can be as simple as just not having that one conversation you needed to have. Like the moment you realized that you were overwhelmed and that you were grappling with, wait a moment, my life has completely shifted. What does this mean? I'm having an existential crisis. Even if we couldn't have fixed it together, if you had said, I'm dealing with some shit and I don't feel right, even if you didn't know what it was yet, but to just say it out loud brings it to light and means it's something to work on. On my part, I waited weeks. There were things I desperately wanted to ask you to do and to take charge of. And can I give you this control and that control? And please, please, please help me, Daddy. And I was terrified. And so I just didn't. And I just didn't. And I didn't. And the nice thing about our relationship now, maybe it's because I know I'm your submissive no matter what's going on. I know I'm your baby girl no matter what's going on. I don't always have that feeling of, oh, I just want to let go of the control, because I'm constantly telling myself I don't really have control. Even when I go all big D dominant in the business side of things, ultimately in my mind, I don't have control. But there were really subtle times where I felt like this isn't right. I like having the control over what I'm doing because I'm type A and genuinely kind of OCD. And you know, there's like I've been diagnosed OCD. There are some things.
She's been tested.
I've been tested. Yes. Yes, I have. My daddy had me tested. So I, you know, it's when I was in a different life and we could not be 24/7 DS, it was a relief to cast off that control.
Right.
This is much more subtle than that.
Yeah.
And so I can recognize it now looking back that I was having this feeling of being overwhelmed with the control. I had too much control than I wanted, more control than I wanted. And instead of saying, I'm having a feeling I can't even explain, but I don't feel right for us to explore it together, I was just letting it sit there. And you're having your feeling you can't explain yet, but you're not telling me you have a feeling. And I'm having a feeling I can't explain yet, but I'm not telling you. And that's when we start drifting in opposite directions. Right. And it's this slow drift. It's like an iceberg. It's not this big, huge crash, boom, bang. The relationship is dead.
It wasn't like the earth splitting open.
Right. And I think that happens to people. I mean, have you ever looked at a partner that you know you love, but you look at them after however long and you go, who are you? And how did we get here? And how did this happen? And when a relationship ends, I really believe most of the time, there are some structural issues. It probably couldn't have been fixed. But it's because instead of drifting for a month and fixing it, you drifted for 20 years and didn't fix it. And so when you find your dominant or submissive partner and you're like, yes, I'm living the DS life of my dreams, right? Like we're more protective of that, or we should be more protective of that, because you've already figured out how freaking hard it is to have the DS life of your dreams. And so, you know, I think because we teach ourselves to communicate more in DS, because it's really the only way it'll ever work. No relationship will work if you don't communicate. But we talk about talking more often in DS. So we're hyper aware. But that just goes to show you can be hyper aware and it can still happen to you.
And it can still get away from you.
Which is why relationships are work. And if you don't view them as needing constant attention and work, the little things can be what drive you apart. Worse and bigger and more in a more devastating way than some big thing.
Right.
So I think that's what we wanted to say this week.
Pretty much.
That felt deeply personal.
Yeah.
I'm sweating again.
It was.
It's not a sexy kind of sweat either. Now, we'll give a little bit, because we talked multiple times.
Right.
So I asked for more control, which I think will help you feel more dominant.
Correct.
You have not agreed to any of it yet, but we...
No, but it's not going to be a... instant change.
No, and it can't be. Already going through some of the changes. I'm changing my behavior. You're changing your tone.
It's subtle change. We're taking steps with it. But we're moving forward with it.
We're trying to figure it out.
Right.
And
you know, I do blame myself in this a little bit because I actually had thought that, it's not going to be any different when I'm not going to work every day. We'll just carry on the way we have been. And no.
It's a whole different world. And you know, I feel bad because I remember the shift in part of my identity that I went through when I stopped working full time. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the age of 19 on, I've worked full time. And for many years, I worked multiple jobs. Like, I didn't understand for a while what it meant to not put clothes on and leave the house and have the schedule. And in the very beginning of my freelance life, I wasn't earning a lot of money. So in my mind... earning money equates to work. And if you're not earning money, are you really working? Well, yeah, you're really fucking working.
Work is work is work.
Right. It's nice to get paid, but sometimes you work and you do things that are definitely work, but you don't get paid. But I had never been that stay-at-home mom kind of figure, that making lunches for people kind of thing. No, we threw money at the lunch lady at school. That's how that we rolled. You know, I mean, I didn't have that life of being around my kids all the time or learning how to navigate the drop-off line and pick-up line at school. That was, it was a whole different world. So, I feel bad that I did not sit you down and go, okay, shit's about to get real. And
shit's going
to
hit the fan.
And we need to have an open line of communication. Because I assumed that was...
And I didn't either.
Right. And so we know now.
Yes.
So that's maybe our point too.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody listening got anything that helps them personally, other than to just keep paying attention to your relationship.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't feel right, even if it's small.
Say something.
I mean, you don't even have to have an answer or an explanation for what it is. But if you can put light on the moment... mm-hmm. Then at least it's not this thing that you shrug off. Because that's what I kept doing. It was a little thing, I shrugged it off. And there was another different little thing, and I shrugged it off. And eventually I couldn't shrug anymore. It was too heavy.
Right.
It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We good?
Well, not really. Okay, so I'm trying to get better about actually like ending the show before the bonus section. If you have never listened to a bonus section, we'll say keep it kinky, and then there'll be like a couple seconds, and then we'll go into a bonus section. So just bear with us if you're interested. Okay. So if you can relate, or if we just brought up more questions than things we actually answered anything, please feel free to reach out to us. Ha! Guess what? You can reach out to us directly on FetLife through the Loving BDSM PC page. You can still reach out to us through our personal pages.
Yeah.
If we're connected on a personal level, that's fine.
And if you go to the Loving BDSM FetLife page, at the top, you'll see both our names.
Right. An owner. That's just weird. I'm not an owner of anything. You can reach out to us through FetLife.
Yes.
You can come onto Twitter at LovingBDSM. Mm-hmm. You can come to LovingBDSM.net, and there's a contact page. If you know us as individuals on social media, you can come talk to us there. But, you know, if it raises questions for you, if you're like, could this be similar? We're happy to try and help. If you can relate and you're like, we'd love to hear that, because sometimes it's nice to just know you're not the only fucking one.
Right.
So please feel free to reach out. If you are trying to figure out your DS, I'll do a little promo for 30 Days of DS. It's our free program through lovingbdsm.net. If you do the email version, which is the free version, every day for 30 days, you get an email with one little topic, a little bit of DS, so you can have a conversation with your partner or think about it for yourself or write in a journal or however you think about things. But if you're trying to figure out what DS means to you before you can even relate to these kinds of subtleties, that's an option. So there we go. And we're going to have a bonus section.
Yeah.
Because I've got some cool stuff to talk about in the bonus section.
Me too.
We got mail. I know you do too. You got some really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some ouchy. cool things.
Yeah.
So if you are a person who enjoys receiving or giving ouchies, totally stay in the bonus section. Okay.
We good?
Vaguely.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Can I? Please? Please, Daddy?
No.
Please, Daddy. Please.
No.
Please, Daddy. Please, please, please. The crickets.
Baby girl.
Think of the crickets.
Baby girl.
Think of the crickets. The crickets. They need us. The crickets. They're waiting. Yay! Okay.
Well, wait. Before you do.
Oh, what?
Yes, I have something to say.
Oh, you have something to say? Yes, Daddy.
I have something to say first.
Okay.
I was doing what I do best.
Oh, gosh. That's several things.
And I was trolling Twitter.
Oh, yes, you do that very well.
Yeah. And I came across one of our listeners who mentioned that
today?
Tomorrow.
The 25th.
Well, today, when this podcast is released, the 25th, August 25th, is their birthday.
Yes, I was thinking about that too.
Okay. So, want to wish Precious
at PE Falls
a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday! Love it. I would love to say that I would give shout outs on everybody's birthday, but I don't know if I could keep up with everybody.
I know.
But if your birthday falls on a Friday in a given year, you let us know and we will totally shout you out. I love that. As long as you don't want me to sing to you. I don't like the happy birthday song.
You don't know.
And you don't want me to.
No.
No.
Her singing is a hard limit for
me.
I'd
like to think I have many talents in the world. But that is not one of them.
No.
No. Now, does that mean I won't sing in the car? Oh, wow, damn. The 12-year-old is crying and they're like, please, mom, stop singing. Fuck you. No, I'm singing my song. This is my jam. Okay. But yeah, in public, no, I'm not singing. Okay.
Mm-mm.
So we're going to do mail. Now, I want to let people know that if, other than the postcards that we are going to talk about in the mail we got today, anything prior to that, I have finally sent out postcards.
Yes, she did.
So you should be getting yours.
I put them in the mailbox.
He almost forgot. Just saying. Nothing sacred. We'll sell each other out in a heartbeat. So this is a fresh batch of mail. So anybody prior to who I'm about to shout out and say, yay, we got mail from you. If you've heard your stuff before, you've got a postcard on the way as long as you gave me a return address. Okay. So that is totally coming. I finally sat down and did that in the middle of the night because I was feeling really guilty. So I'm going to save. All the mail is awesome.
Okay.
Every piece of mail we get is awesome. But there is one, somebody went above and beyond and, oh my God, I'm totally overwhelmed. I'm going to save him for the last. Okay. So I can have that moment. So Rabbit Heart, and I know who you are. I want to follow you on Twitter, and yay, Rabbit Heart is awesome. We've got a postcard from West Virginia, which is funny because I tweeted out a picture of all of the postcards we got in the mail we got.
Yeah.
And I said from West Virginia, and somebody else messaged me and said, did I send you something? And I'm like, no, it wasn't you, but you can if you'd like. So yes, this is is it Peter Cottontail?
Yeah.
Okay, yay. I remembered my literary references. It is just the sweetest. He's eating rabbits, and there's the bird, and they're in the...
No, he's eating the rabbit. He's eating carrots.
He's eating carrots. The rabbit is eating the rabbit. He is a kinky rabbit. I don't know why we let me do the mail. I fuck it up every time. Rabbit Heart, you know what I meant. I meant carrots. He's eating the carrots. But if he wants to eat rabbit, he could be freaky rabbit if he wants to be freaky rabbit. Thank you for your postcard. At least I made the shout out memorable. So then the next one came to us all the way from Australia.
Yes.
Oh, and you are totally getting a postcard back. I don't know how many stamps it's going to take, but you will get all the stamps. Okay. So this one is Beach Bum Australia, and it is a picture of a beautiful beach with a beautiful bear bum.
Yeah.
And I could stare at that butt all day. That is a beautiful looking man, at least from the back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice ass. I'm just saying. So this is Sky Maiden from Sydney, Australia. And she says, hope you enjoy the image of our standard beaches here. Oh, I hope those are your standard beaches. Sky Maiden says, it was that or cockatoos and sunglasses, and the cockatoos weren't very photogenic. let's see. Oh, and Sky Maiden says, can relate to me very well, and then apologize for fangirling. Never apologize for fangirling. I fangirl all the time. All the time. Y'all don't see it, but I do. And the question in this postcard, which I'll also respond to when I send you a postcard, is that if there's a page on our website where we have other podcast recommendations, and we do, I need to update it. I don't think we have everybody that we like listed, but at lovingbdsm.net, mm-hmm. there is, in the menu, there's an option that says resources. And if you click on that, it's we've got books and we've got websites and we have podcasts. I need to update it, but it is there. So, and then Skyman says to have an amazing week, and we will. And we will.
Yep.
So there's that one. And then this one. This one is not a postcard.
No.
This one came from Paul.
Yes.
And I won't say more than the first name because I don't know his avatar. But he says, I couldn't find a damn postcard anywhere. You know what? I'll take a handwritten letter.
Yeah.
Any freaking day of the week. And so in our envelope with this lovely handwritten letter was, oh my freaking God, custom engraved keychains. So on one side is the Loving BDSM logo, the floggers, the heart, the title Loving BDSM. And then on the back side, it says kink, community,
communication,
crickets,
and coffee.
Yes, and we love them. We love them. Yes. Now, here's what's funny. So we get them, and I didn't open the mail right after I checked the mailbox. I checked it. We're recording Thursday. I checked it Wednesday. So I put the envelopes and all the stuff on the bed. And then it was the nighttime by the time we got to open anything.
Right.
So we're looking at it. And our bedspread is dark, dark purple. And the lights are not like really, really bright.
No.
So we're looking at it. And I'm thinking, this is gorgeous. And I love this. But I'm thinking, that's an interesting reddish color in the engraving. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care. I'm so happy to have it. Right. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm squeeing all over the place and hiding it from my children because... did not want to have that conversation, but I'm so happy to have it. I'm like, this is great. And then it's Thursday. This morning, I leave the house and I go into natural sunlight. And I'm like, oh my God, it's purple.
Yep.
So then my joy was twofold at that point. It was like getting a second surprise.
Uh-huh.
So we tweeted out the picture. If you go... follow us or find us at Loving BDSM on Twitter, you will see and go look at our media, you'll see our picture. Why did you take my key away from me? I want to hold my keychain, Daddy. you can see it. So the offers are made.
I've got something you can hold.
Okay. Yeah. That's different. I don't mind that at all. I'll hold that anytime. So Paul put the offer in his letter that if there was interest that maybe we could partner with Paul to offer these for sale through merchandise. Now, I don't know how that would work yet, and I have to talk to Paul. And Paul, if you can hear my voice, please feel free to reach out to us through email or FetLife or wherever, whatever floats your boat there. Because
it's beautiful work.
It is gorgeous, and I love it. And now I would pay for it. I would love to commission one that says coffee is my love language, because then I could put that on my vanilla keys. Because these are on the keys that nobody ever has a need to hold, so I don't have to worry about it. But the keys that have, you know, all my little cards on it for all my discounts. I'm one of those people with her keys. I would totally pay for that. So, Paul, if you can hear my voice, we love it. I was squeeing. I was totally squeeing. This is so cool. I love that we get mail. I love that people think of us. I love that there are people who say, I wanted to send you something. I couldn't find a postcard, so I colored you a picture. That is freaking awesome, y'all.
It is.
If you are able to find a postcard, you still thought of us. If you couldn't find it, you thought of us and bought a Hallmark card. It doesn't matter. It's not how big it is. It's the fact that you thought about us. And we love you for it. So, but Paul, you totally had me squeeing, dude. I'm just saying. I was like, wee! All over the place. So if you want to send us a letter, a postcard, I have been told two people that I know of, possibly put packages in the mail. And of course, I always go, you shouldn't have. And then my baby girl side goes, but thank you. I really like packages. if you would like to send us a postcard, y'all, no obligation. Postcards are fine. The link's in the show notes page. We have a page on lovingbdsm.net called Postcard Project. But if you don't want to do all that, here, I'll give you the address. Go get something, however you type it, write it, whatever you do. Here we go. P.O. Box 391. P.O. Box 391. Crystal Beach, Florida. 34681. 34681. Okay. We love mail. All mail makes me squee. But I'm just saying, Paul.
Nothing better than a baby girl squeeze.
Paul's keychain was so unexpected, and it was just like, oh my gosh, that you are a talented person, yeah. And we thank you. I'm gonna put my. I have to let go of my keys, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so you have a thing.
Go. Well, I've got a couple things actually. It appears just before this episode, I was informed that several people have picked up on a little background noise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your Darth Vader background noise.
My Darth Vader background noise. Yes, folks, there's nothing wrong with your cars. if you're not new, you probably remember back January, February, and a good part of March, I was sick.
Mm.
I had a cold, went into a sinus infection, went into bronchitis. And it was horrible. It took me forever to get over it. So from that, I kind of made a decision to cut way back on my cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started vaping.
Again, you had already been vaping.
I had already been
years.
Vaping for years. That's how I quit cigarettes. Used to be a pack and a half a day cigarette smoker.
Ooh, yeah. That wouldn't have fly. I'd have put,
Yeah.
Vape.
But, I was getting a little much with the cigars, and that bout of bronchitis kind of gave me a gentle reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, some of you remember hearing me trying to talk and
I know. There were a few shows you couldn't do because you couldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Mm-mm. So, I still have the cigars. I still enjoy cigars once or twice a week. But primarily do the vaping now, and it's been a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. Was getting so bad. He had started out with, I'm going to smoke a cigar on the weekends, and then I'm going to smoke a cigar at the end of a long day. And, you worked a stressful job. You hated your job. I got it. Okay. And then I would get into his car, and usually there's a boy smell in his car. I change out the air freshener periodically to make it not smell so much like boy. But this was like a different kind of boy funk. This was a smoky boy funk. And I love the smell of a cigar as it's being smoked. Nobody wants to smell stale cigars.
Cigar smoke, no.
And that's how I knew that it had gone from being this, at the end of my day, I'll unwind, to I'm getting through the day and I'm stress smoking.
Right. So, yeah, I've cut way back on cigars, gotten back into the vaping again.
So now sometimes you sound like Darth Vader on an episode.
Yes.
And he's so funny. We actually paused before being able to hit record because he needed to get his last few hits. And I'm like, dude, I know we talk a long time, but come on, you can make it. You can go.
Yes.
You'll be fine. So yes, that's what that sound
that,
is.
That's
I
what
did,
that sound
I,
is.
I did my best baby girl lecture because I said, okay, we've gotten two completely unrelated. There was emails people sent about other things, but one person said, thank you for saying that it was vaping. I knew it was vaping. And the other person was like, thank you for saying it was vaping. I thought there was something wrong with my car. So I lectured him a little bit.
Yes.
So now we all know. Okay,
right.
Your other thing that I'm very excited about.
And then
too.
The other thing, this is something I've kind of been planning for a little bit now. But I spent the morning, this morning of recording this, out in the shop making canes.
Mm-hmm.
I have found a supplier of Delrin rods.
They're ouchies, if you're unaware.
Yeah, I tried one out on her as she was passing through the garage.
As our neighbor was coming out to her car.
Yeah.
It's our own property,
right?
But still, we put the cane away.
Yeah, and what I have done with these canes is I have turned handles for them
so
on
they're
the lathe.
They're wooden handles.
They're wooden handles. They have a nice feel in the
nice
hand.
Nice solid. The one made of eucalyptus is my favorite. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Right now, I've got four of them made today. As of today. Three of them are with black walnut and one with eucalyptus.
Oh, the eucalyptus is my favorite.
It is. That's a.
But you do a lot with eucalyptus now, and he just makes some gorgeous freaking stuff with eucalyptus.
Well, it's beautiful wood in general.
Yeah, but if it was me doing it, it'd look like a woodpecker had hit it, okay? So I think there's some talent behind bringing that grain out. So.
Yeah. So those are going to be available very, very soon.
I know. Yeah, I love the fact that you have taken charge of the shop. See, what we do is, you know, on lovingbdsm.net, if you find the link that says shop, it goes to our Redbubble site with our merchandise swag, our printed stuff. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep our sites kind of clean and not overload them with stuff. So I already have a shop at kaylalords.com for my books.
Right.
So we have been hosting our physical products that we control through that site. So Daddy's got all the ability to log in that he wants. And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to add products. I'm like, okay, you have fun. Have a good time.
Because before I used to just drop that in her lap.
And I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll get that done. but he did add paddles, and we've already sold two. So that's very cool. So I'm going to need you to make some more paddles too, Daddy. Yeah, we like the hitty, ouchy things.
Yeah.
I think that's because it's our preferred. I mean, we have several kinks. We have several things we like. But impact play is just I think it's our favorite.
Kind of our go-to.
Yeah. I mean, because we can do impact play when we have nothing. When we don't have just have your hand and you can do impact play. So, and I find it relaxing and enjoyable and all that good stuff.
You do.
So, one more thing. And I'm sure if you're a cricket, this will apply to more of you than if you're not a cricket. So maybe people will hear this because I should have said it earlier. Your first Dom meeting in the community for the Kinky Fuckery level members.
Yes, is coming up
this
Saturday,
the 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern. I have done a really shitty job of promoting those things. God, I suck, y'all. I'm so sorry. And do you know what you're going to talk about yet?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion over many different medias about equality and how it relates to a DS relationship.
Ooh. It's a Dom meeting and I won't be there.
Nope.
Okay. You'll have to tell me how you feel about it later.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now, when we say a Dom meeting, dominant, master, mistress, mommy, daddy, switch. Like, however, if you in any way, shape, or form at some point identify with some kind of dominant energy, I don't care what you call it, this meeting is for you as long as you are a Kinky Fuckery paid member.
Right.
You can attend that. And then if you can't go to the live stream, you will be able to watch it later.
Yes.
So, it's awesome. Okay. Look at us doing stuff. Yep. Look at us doing stuff. Okay. So I guess we have to be done, don't we?
We have to be done.
Yeah, you have to go pick up kids.
Yes, I do.
And you know, it's funny. I said to him, it won't take us 2 hours to record this.
Yeah, right. I know better.
I've got to stop saying shit like that.
Yes, you do. Jinx.
I know I do. No, we've been recording for an hour and a half. It's fine.
Okay.
I hope people stuck around this long.
I hope so, too.
We'll see. Okay, y'all. We love you.
We love you.
Thank you for listening and being a cricket, and hopefully everybody stuck with me after I completely bungled the who the hell is Go-To-Mish and why did... y'all, I was sweating so hard.
All right.
We'll see.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. We
love you.
Bye.